The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Leader and the Muse with top personal brand coach and leadership presence guru, Rasheryl McCrary. Rasheryl teaches executives and entrepreneurs how to build their personal brands and increase their influence in ways that drive personal and organizational success. Now she's ready to help you. It's time to expand your brand. Here's Rasheryl McCrary.
Welcome to The Leader and the Muse. I am your host, Rasheryl McCrary, and I am the president of Dow Leadership Development. I'm a certified leadership coach and a certified personal brand strategist, and over the past decade, I have coached over 1,000 leaders in Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and leading business schools, helping them discover, communicate, and leverage their authentic personal brand. Now, for those of you who are new to the show, or maybe you're not quite familiar with personal branding, or, you know, maybe you think that personal branding or branding is this sort of weird packaging, gimmicky kind of thing, let me tell you what I'm talking about when I say personal brand. So a personal brand is your unique promise of value. It is your unique combination of skills, strengths, limits, values, creative abilities, all rolled up into one. And personal branding is the process by which we unearth and cultivate your personal brand. So each week on The Leader and the Muse, we will be discussing personal branding through the lens of my Brand You program. And that's Brand Y-O-U, which means brand your own uniqueness. And it's really designed to help leaders and entrepreneurs unearth their authentic it factor and really leverage that towards their success. So just a little backstory on Brand You. I was inspired to create this program I was inspired by this quote by William Aruda, and he's one of the godfathers of personal branding. And the quote says, "What makes you unique makes you successful." And I've certainly found that to be true in my own life, and many others have found that when they land in the sweet spot of their uniqueness, that's where they enjoy great success. So in the Brand You program, really quickly, there are four steps in that journey. And the first and most important step is called excavate. And that's really where we go through a journey of self-reflection and external assessment and help you unearth your unique qualities. Step two is clarify, and that's where we sift through all the data we've gathered in step one, and we really get down to the essential elements of your it factor. What is it about you? What unique combination makes you you and allows you to be your most powerful self? Step number three is elevate, and that's where we look at the actual skills and practices that you can do, that you can embody or embrace that really elevate your brand, and that's where your presence, your image, and today's show, your environment, comes into play in the elevate phase of Brand You. And the fourth step is leverage. And that's where we identify low impact, high value actions that help you launch your brand out into the world. So we create a plan to really get you out there. So those are the four steps of the Brand You program. And each week on the show, we explore various aspects of this process with our guest. So today, as I said, we will be looking through the lens of the elevate portion to a degree, mostly the elevate step of the Brand You program and looking at your environment and how that shapes your brand. And so I'm so thrilled to introduce today's guest. Our guest today is Susie Frazier. She's the owner of Earth Minded Art, and that's the company that operates Susie Frazier Showroom and SusieFrazierArt.com. Now, Susie is an environmental artist and designer. She is a lifestyle guru, and she creates fine art, functional art and public art that's on display throughout Northeast Ohio. She also has an acclaimed lifestyle brand of home decor, apparel, gifts, all based on organic patterns found in nature. Now, Susie works with a variety of vendors and fabricators to replicate her prototypes, and she offers a wide range of handmade jewelry, t-shirts, scarves, lamps, tabletop decor, stationery, fine art, accent furniture. She's a wonderful retail outlet inside the 78th Street Studios. For those of you who are listening in Northeast Ohio, she also has her online store, so you can access her beautiful, beautiful, beautiful work from anywhere in the world. And Susie was influenced by the landscapes of the American Southwest as a child and is really drawn to and inspired by the self-organizing systems found in nature. So I would love to say welcome to the show, Susie. Welcome, welcome. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rochelle. It's so great to be here.
It's great to have you. And today we are going to be talking about a topic that's dear to my heart and a topic that you are an expert in. And that is, we're going to look at three core ways to replenish your brand and recharge your spirit. So, mm-hmm. You know, Susie, you and I before we came to the interview, sort of we had a pre-interview conversation and we talked about how we live these really chaotic lives and there's a lot of competing demands on time, energy, spirit. I mean, there's a lot going on and, you know, all this can lead to full-blown burnout that certainly takes a toll on us and certainly can damage our personal brands. So the show today is really you talking about how we can really use some core principles. And you have a patented approach to that for really recharging ourselves.
That's right. And, you know, this is something that I've cultivated over decades, truly. And I think your point about coming from our authentic place, you know, where is the identity of who we are to develop that brand? And so, you know, I point back to my childhood, truly, that helped define who I am and what I do, primarily because I'm a product of divorce. Southern California is where I lived, but we ended up moving a lot after that, Scottsdale, Arizona, and Denver, Colorado, eventually. And, you know, having that painful but sort of transitional experience at such a young age really taught me early on how to be comfortable with the idea that, you know, life is just an opportunity for constant reinvention. Mm-hmm. And that's not just our surroundings and our experiences, but ultimately for ourselves. So, you know, I look at those things about, you know, not having a lot of means growing up and just the way that my mom figured out salvage style to decorate a home and all of those little influences of, you know, being outdoors because that was just the easiest way to make sure you could handle a gaggle of kids. And then, you know, looking back, I can connect the dots and understand why those things matter to me, particularly when I've moved out of that environment and gone so far to the Northeast. You know, you look at Cleveland as a culture and it's very different than the culture of places like Denver, but you know, not everybody here had that reference of feeling what it's like to live in wide open spaces and just the rugged beauty that's found within them. So, mm-hmm. you know, I found an identity in that mm-hmm. that reference point of where I came from, but also a new identity with recognizing the beauty of Cleveland's industrial identity and it's a of raw materials and the manufacturing past. So, you know, all of this has fed into my my philosophy of earth-minded style, mm-hmm. and it's really a design aesthetic and a, mm-hmm. and an approach to life that, you know, is based on being more resourceful, more natural, and more down-to-earth.
Yeah. Yeah, so great. So, Susie, I loved how you started off talking about your you know, sort of the earliest influences on you. And that leads to my first question, which is really, you know, how did you become brand Susie Frazier, right? What were some of the mm-hmm. things that shaped you? So obviously you started talking about, being, a product of divorce and raised by a single mom. And, you know, and there were some things that you picked up just, you know, as part of, her day-to-day being a parent and just practicality. Those things really shaped you. And then, so from, you grew up in Denver, was that right?
I did. And, you know, really what happened was having an opportunity to work at a young age. I started working when I was 14. And
wow.
I found that as a creative person, you know, it wasn't just a typical retail opportunity. I mean, I was doing design logos for, you know, businesses on the side. I was building decor for special events for my mother's company and ended up having elaborate retail merchandising opportunities that I could do in the gift shop I worked in. So all of these things played to some of my skill sets that I went on to carry into college doing, you know, odd jobs around campus with fraternities.
And where'd you go to college, Susie?
I went to the University of Colorado in Boulder. And,
okay.
you know, part of the Greek system there was just around social events. And so I designed T-shirts and murals and even kind of like built environments for their parties. And so that really was a great basis for understanding, you know, how do we create atmosphere? How do we communicate our message with whatever it is that is the medium?
Right.
But it wasn't until after college, moving into Cleveland, that I really learned about desktop publishing and how that intersects with design. In 1993, I joined a small family business as the art director and helped them turn their eclectic retail store into a mail order catalog enterprise.
Oh,
so we
wow.
were, yeah, it was really exciting. We taught ourselves a lot about software technology, and, you know, illustration software tools and layout tools, and then also just the operational side of the catalog business, which really became the foundation for my understanding of consumer product marketing and retail fulfillment. But, you know, those are things that you feel like they're like complete lifetimes ago.
Right, right, absolutely.
What came
and,
after
and
that?
See,
was
were you
just a,
now in college? Were you an art major? Were you?
No, I mean that's the irony. Is I was a communication major, and
okay.
as
mm-hmm.
much as I loved the idea of wanting to go to art school, it's not something that my father, who was financially supporting the college experience at the time, he was willing to pay for. So it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me because I got a very solid understanding of the importance of just verbal and nonverbal communication in all aspects of life and in business. And that's really the underpinnings of what I do and what I stand for. Of course, you know, the visual product that everybody sees is my public art installations or my furniture and home decor. But really what it is, it's about communicating an aesthetic. It's about communicating
right.
what I stand for and communicating
right.
a
right.
way of life.
Mm-hmm. And art is communication, right? I mean, art,
right.
I think people typically think of performing arts. I have a performing arts background. And so that's a
yeah.
much more obvious way of communicating if you're in theater or you're a singer or a dancer
yeah.
even. But I think that all art is about communicating because it's about connecting, right?
That's
no matter
right.
what the medium, it's really about connecting. And there's an exchange that happens between the artist and the audience, whether it's through
that's
the medium
exactly
of,
right.
of you know, sculpture or through the medium of, you know, a painting, there's
mm-hmm.
an exchange of energy that happens. And so that
mm-hmm.
at its core is communication. So great
yeah,
major to have to be
though.
An artist, actually.
Right,
so,
right.
you know, Susie, what about, what really helped you, excavate your brand? And, you know,
well, there was a turning point. There was a very distinct turning point when I found slate roofing tile that was 100 years old on Cleveland buildings that was being torn off and thrown into these big dump trucks driven away to the dump. And I
mm-hmm.
had never seen anything like that before. That's not the way they roof homes out in Colorado and out west. So to me, I was looking at this like, oh my gosh, this is not trash. This is, you know, raw material for something. So I ended up salvaging all of this and created, you know, a whole series of products that I did with cutting on the wet saw and creating mosaic furniture and home decor. And so it dawned on me in that process of, you know, looking at something that was really a piece of junk that somebody else didn't want and saying, you know, this is a medium. Of course, it was very difficult at the time to, you know, do this because it was a real education. And this is long before the term going green had been coined. And so,
right.
you know, to try to define this as a viable medium that's beautiful and has history and it's rooted in the community was, you know, a little bit of an uphill battle. But, you know, it's interesting now we have entire industries that are, you know, centered around this deconstruction concept and
right.
the aftermarket.
Right.
You know, that comes with it. But so that's what happened in 1997. And unfortunately, I got very sick from 90% of the dust that came off this saw was getting sucked into my ventilation system. But there was a trace amount that kept landing on my scalp and my skin, which I did not know was causing free radical damage in my blood. And so it ended up being a health concern, and I had to shut down the operation and get healthy. But it was a really amazing time of sadness, but then transformation of, you know, evolving into a new medium. I also gave birth to children in that period. So it became an opportunity. You know, everything, when people go through these things, you have moments where they're dark periods and you think, this is it. It's over.
Right.
And it's not until later that you look back and you're like, really, that was only halfway through the story.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's an amazing, amazing journey. And Susie, actually, we need to take a quick break, right now, and we will come back and jump back into this, and talk about earth-minded style, and how you got there, when we come back after the break. So this is Rochelle McCrary, your host of The Leader in the Muse. And we are now taking a quick break, and we'll be right back with Susie Frazier after the break.
Out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rochelle McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's muse@leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Rochelle McCrary, your host of The Leader in the Muse, and I am speaking today with Susie Frazier. She's an environmental artist, a lifestyle guru, and the founder of Earth-Minded Style, and you're listening to us right here on Voice America Business Channel. So, Susie, right before the break, we were talking about this big breakthrough that you had, and that really helped you begin to excavate your brand, and that you had a bit of an illness as a result of some work you were doing with some reclaimed slate. You had children and, you know, lots going on. So share with us sort of that breakthrough and how that breakthrough helped you get to this earth-minded style that is your a big element of your brand.
Sure. Well, you know, after I started working with the slate, you know, and developing product lines and shipping them to galleries coast to coast, you know, it became a full-fledged operation. And unfortunately, with acquiring this thing with stone dust landing in your skin, you don't realize that this is the largest organ in your body, and it, you know, absorbs whatever's in the environment. So I did become ill from the free radical damage that this dust was causing. And so I had to shut down this operation and take time to heal. But it's interesting how those moments, you know, turned into an opportunity. So I looked at a new medium that was really based in more biological materials from plants rather than, you know, geological materials from rocks.
So,
and you alluded to the child thing, because right around the same time, I was pregnant and giving birth to children, and literally three of them about a year and a half apart, back to back. So it was a crazy, exciting, but challenging time. And, you know, I was just trying to make sense of, you know, some of these things I was playing with, these materials. I hadn't really understood how to, what to call it, you know, how to define myself and in the way I was working with it. But one interesting thing happened as we enrolled our children into a Montessori school here in Cleveland. I really became a true believer in one of the core philosophies of the Montessori method, which states, child's work is to create the person that he or she will become. A parent's work is to establish an environment that allows that child to create. So this, beautiful. You know, great message stayed with me. And in many ways, that has been sort of an influential piece for how I like to inspire others to do the same for their target audience, whether it's, you know, families or employees or, general public. So I started to look at the things I was making and what they represented and what they were doing for me and then what they were doing for my family and on and on. And so I realized that there is a process here. There is a definable, identifiable system. And it's not just the way I do the work, but it's the way I approach the work. And it's not just, you know, the way people live with the work, but it's the way they're interacting with their family because of the work.
Right,
so
right.
That's really the essence of how it started.
That is wonderful. And you know, one thing that really strikes me, and I love that quote. Well, repeat the quote, Susie.
It's a child's work is to create the person that he or she will become. A parent's work is to establish an environment that allows that child to create.
That is a beautiful quote, and a beautiful, just a beautiful credo to really adapt and live by. And the thing that really strikes me is one of the things in working with my clients on personal brand. You know, one of the things we do explore is the environment the client is in, right? Is that environment supporting your authentic, unique qualities, your personal brand? Is that environment detracting from it? Is it draining energy from you? Is it reflecting authentically who you are?
Exactly.
And, you know, this kind of design work is not my, you know, it's not my sweet spot, but certainly, you know, it's important, I think, for all of us to become aware of our environment, and is it supporting the work we do in the world, whether that work is at home with our families or whether that work is in an office? You know, is our environment supporting that and reflecting truly who we are? And because most of my clients are corporate, that's the environment they're in. And even there, I think it's important to think about, you know, are there certain colors that you, or I have a client who, enjoys, the ocean and water and being on the water. And, you know, so, okay, in your office in landlocked, you know, Kansas City in the middle of the country, you're not near the ocean, but maybe hanging a painting or something that reminds you of the ocean, and maybe it's some seashells inside your desk drawer. I mean, things like that really help you stay attuned.
Well,
to
and that's
things.
More of the literal way to take it, and that is valuable in its own right. But, you know, really it's a metaphor, you know, for other things. And I'll explain, you know, one of the reasons people follow my work is because they're intrigued by, you know, sort of the inspirational messages that are featured in my newsletter and through this essence of style. So I write about ways that, you know, we can be, for the first reason, more resourceful in our lives. And that means not just with choosing, you know, recycled materials and our design choices, but really within our relationships as well. And so that's where the metaphor comes in. For example, you know, we've all had probably stages of our life where we've burned through some friendships or other experiences as a byproduct of the times we live in. But I try to remind people of all the ways we can be more mindful in our choices and more deliberate in how we're communicating. And that means nonverbally too. Like, what does your environment say about how wasteful we might be as a person or as a company? And that reflects just how also we interact with our people.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it also means looking beyond the obvious for answers to our challenges. Like, you know, recently a group of managers from the corporate headquarters of Sherwin-Williams came in to my showroom, and I gave a talk on how to tap our wells of creativity in the workforce, even if we don't consider ourselves to be creative. And really, I've been teaching people that this is a learned skill. You know, although some people are born with natural instincts, there are real tactics that can be taught to teach people how to be more resourceful, trust their ideas, operate from intuition, and then use that as a powerful resource that's available to them all the time.
Right. Absolutely.
Part of that whole story.
Great. And so, Susie, let's talk specifically about earth-minded style and exactly what that is. And I know there are three core principles you're going to talk to us about today.
Well, that was one of them.
Okay, so let's. I just want to tee this up so the audience who's listening can really get this. So first of all, what are the three components or principles of Earth-Minded Style?
It's really just about being more resourceful, more natural, and more down to earth in not just the decor of our environment or the decor that you wear, but in the relationships that you keep and in the life that you choose.
Okay, great. So the three core principles are resourceful, natural, and down to earth. Those are the three cores.
Right.
Great. So good. So you gave us a sense of sort of resourcefulness and what that's all about. So talk to us about when you say natural, what does that mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, the obvious answer to that is it can mean, you know, really using organic and natural materials, which is a lot of things that designers anyway are doing these days. But one of the reasons architects and planners and interior designers hire me is that they know they're working with a patternist who understands the rhythms of nature. So I don't just take like a silhouette of a leaf and, you know, repeat it 100 times. What I do is I look closely at the bark of the tree and I see how these textures twist and turn, or I look at the thinnest blades of grass and how they weave into each other as they grow, you know, allowing them to reach heights they could never do on their own. And these are observations of systems in the environment, and those systems have a certain flow about them, and that flow is something that happens naturally. So if we were to look at other examples, like, you know, there's an old saying about water will always find its way down the mountain. And if you've spent any time in the woods, you know, you notice that once it finds a way, it usually follows that same way over and over again. That's, you know, how creeks are made and rivers. Same thing goes for, you know, deer. When they wander, they usually tend to create paths and then they stay on them over and over. But in public settings, people are no different. You know, so I try to help planners understand that when where we place furniture or decorative elements in public, you know, seating even, it needs to be put in places where people already want to go. That's what makes it natural. For one, they're going to get used more often, and two, it's just more comfortable for everyone because people are creatures of habit.
Right.
So, you know, public art elements that I create are designed to be in a natural, complementary fashion with the way that people are already interacting with the environment.
Great. So, so there's a sense of sort of this organic way that we're already interacting, and some of the organic or organizing principles of nature, it sounds like, is a part of it. And now, is feng shui at all? Is that something that you practice, or is that a part of being
natural? You
know,
I do. It's parts of intuitively, for sure. I'm not a formal feng shui practitioner, nor am I an official interior designer. But what I find is, you know, this kind of sensibility about living life and simplifying and seeing the connections between things just in a very practical way. It doesn't have to be shrouded under any kind of, you know, guise other than just being an observant person and recognizing how you can turn that observation inward and choose to use that to your advantage in your work life or in your home life or certainly in your spiritual life.
Absolutely. And so, Susie, for listeners who, you know, are listening now, they're in their offices listening or in their cars listening on iTunes. What's a practical application for someone who, you know, maybe is not going to get out into nature or doesn't necessarily have a sense, or is tapped into that sense of sort of the natural flow of things, or is in a very, controlled environment, let's say, of their office or even a cube, a cubicle. What's one thing, and we have just about a minute until break, what's one practical application? What might someone be able to do to practice this second core principle of natural in those kinds of environments?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick example. I found when I was at my school, where my children go to school, the Montessori environment is filled with lots of materials that you're allowed to touch and you're allowed to play with, and it's part of how they learn. And I created some furniture in my showroom that had a recessed area where rocks were able to fill into it as part of the design element. Now, when I have open gallery nights, people gather around these areas and they play with these rocks, and then they talk to each other while they're playing with the rocks. And then they hang out and they really share ideas about why these rocks are so interesting. And it spurs a creative moment. And so when we choose to put things into our environment that encourage a tactile experience, Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, a work environment where you want your employees to be more creative, or it's a place where you're trying to inspire the general public about what you do as a company, giving them something to handle or having an opportunity for them to engage into it in a more literal way as opposed to just reading something about it, now you have fostered a new kind of connection with those people, a new kind of reason why they're excited to be there.
That's great. That's a wonderful idea. And that's something that's absolutely, something that can, that, someone can absolutely do. It doesn't take, you know, turning things upside down or changing your whole, you know, your whole office environment or a big budget, right? That's something that you can just find ways to do that. And, and I also wonder about finding ways to, to step outside or to meet outside.
Oh, God,
Many times when I do group coaching programs, if it's particularly if we're sometimes, you know, for some clients, we're at these incredible resorts or in these incredible, in these beautiful spaces or where they're lush and gorgeous outdoor spaces. And it changes the entire dynamic to take the whole group coaching, work that we're doing outside. I mean, those are simple ways to just stay connected.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we connect with nature by just the laws of the universe, healing begins. You know, indigenous cultures around the globe have known this for millennia. And somehow in our advancement of humanity, we have built these kind of concrete environments and forgotten that. And so you're going to see a change now in a lot of things with just architecture and city planning where all of these bio environments are being created, not with tree plantings and parks, but really where the building itself is living. And there are, you know, ways that you go in and around corridors and the plants are hanging off the walls because that's where they grow.
Oh,
and
great.
I'm sorry to jump in here.
We have to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. We're going to talk exactly about sort of these living environments buildings are becoming. So we're right now at a time for a break. This is Rochelle McCreary. I am your host of A Leader in the Muse. I'm speaking with Susie Frazier. She's the lifestyle guru and founder of Earth Minded Style. And we'll be right back on Voice America Business Channel. Stay tuned.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
How can we Americans realize our dreams to earn a living? How can you pursue your dream and make money as an owner or an employee? Learn how at The American Business Person, the online weekly radio talk show hosted by Rich Killian. Today's business leaders share how to succeed and what fails. If you own a new or established business or ever hope to, you must tune in. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Central, and noon Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel or listen on demand to our archived shows.
Voice America Business Network. The bottom line in business.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rochelle McCreary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's muse@leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Rochelle McCreary, your host of The Leader in the Muse, and I am speaking with Susie Frazier. She is an environmental artist. She's a lifestyle guru, and she is the founder of Earth Minded Style. And Susie has this incredible online store where you can purchase her art, jewelry, home items for your home that are absolutely exquisite. You want to reach out and touch the screen. They're so textural and so beautiful. And you can take a look at Susie's work and her online store at SusieFrazierArt.com. And that's SusieFrazierArt.com. SusieFrazierArt.com. So, Susie, right before the break, we were talking about, you were talking about how there's this trend, this emerging trend of creating, buildings that are more living, right? That are, have these elements, these living elements. And I love the, you referenced the, I forget what they call it. It's like the wall that has the, it's not a garden wall, but it's, I've seen this on HGTV where they're living wall.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about this trend that's emerging that really is aligned with your second principle of earth-minded style, which is natural. Tell us about the trend.
Well, I'll tell you, it's something that I'm seeing a lot more in public art capacities. And, the intersection that I play into architecture is really through that doorway. There's architects that are doing things that are way beyond my pay grade that are in all parts of the world. But where I see this happening in public art settings is the ability to work with biomimicry and understanding how certain things happen in the natural environment and use those as, I guess, you know, a platform for a solution in, you know, the human environment. So they have invented systems that allow for vertical irrigation. They have invented means for using plants that are like succulents that don't actually have roots, so they can just literally free hang as long as they're held by, you know, some kind of a trellis system or something that's wired. And so what you're finding is in, you know, even medical environments and hospitals, there are people called, environmental psychologists, and they've been hired to do research and to implement solutions to help make these environments more welcoming and friendly. And they, what they found is when the patients are exposed to organic and natural environments, whether it's a courtyard or things inside the building, then the rates of healing are increasing. And so these are including views of the outside, including, you know, just walking a little bit every day out into a garden. So this is an incredible piece of data that's telling, you know, those that are planners and architects that we don't need to be creating more sterile environments, although some may look beautiful and cool and modern. We need to infuse more of this sort of organic, natural way if we want our people to not only heal, but also just feel better, just general wellness.
Right, absolutely, and I'm wondering, you know, again, because many of our listeners are in a corporate environment or in a business environment, and I'm listening to you, I can only imagine that infusing your environment with these natural elements, either just in your little cubicle or your office, or if that's sort of baked into the design of the office, that it must increase productivity, connectedness. You know, it must shape and influence the ability to form, you know, to get things done, to work as a team, to collaborate. You know, all the things that we've talked about. So,
well, I'll tell you, I don't have any hard evidence of that, but I can give you some anecdotal feedback of, you know, what I hear from my clients, and many of them are in corporate environments and, you know, other residential or hospitality. And what they're telling me after, you know, they bring my work into their setting, and mind you, my work has a very zen sort of rhythmic flow to it. There's repeating shapes, but they're all a little bit different because they came from nature, and so there's no sense of man-made precision. There's always these imperfections to it that maybe, you know, as the materials are embedded in wax, it has sort of an ethereal quality. And so when these things go into those settings, what we're finding is people talk about what a sense of calm they feel, how it brings them a little moment of zen. I guess if I could be a little bit, you know, cheesy in the statement, but it's true in that there's patterning in the environment and in the natural world does bring us a feeling of there's a sense of order in our life, you know, and this is not something that I've discovered. This is widely known, and this is why patternists who study natural settings and natural environments will try to replicate those and those things and bring them into settings where people feel stressed or they feel unwell.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the projects I worked on in Cleveland, which I feel really grateful for, was to install a series of 24 fine art pieces into the radiology department for the VA Medical Center here. You know, you can imagine the patients that come to that part of the hospital are going through some pretty serious stuff. And, you know, just the fact that their planners and designers recognize that they would like to not just put a bunch of prints on the wall, but that they would like to put something in there that's going to bring a sense of calm or comfort or a little bit of serenity in a place that otherwise might feel, you know, a little scary.
Yeah.
So to me, that tells you that there's progress. But just, you know, personally, when you see a pattern that has sort of a rhythmic flow, whether it's, you know, rolling sand dunes or, you know, the edges of a bark on the tree, there is something kind of mesmerizing.
Right.
About it,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, it reminds me of mandala that some people use for meditation, right? Where there's very beautiful, intricate patterns, and by you meditate. I mean, the meditative process is to stare at this pattern, that this very organized pattern. So your work puts me in the mind of that a little bit, especially the tree. A lot of the tree carvings and sculptures that you have remind me of that.
And who could use that in the workplace, right?
Okay. What'd you say?
I said, and who couldn't use a little dose of that at work?
Who couldn't use it? Exactly. We all could use it at work and at home.
Right.
So, Susie, let's talk about principle number three of earth-minded style, and that you said is down to earth. So explain what you mean when you say down to earth. What is this principle all about?
You know, it's really about being comfortable. And, you know, when we talk about being down to earth, sometimes it's referred to as a personality trait, and that is the metaphor of what this statement is. But down to earth can also really mean raw materials. You know, everything that I do in my showroom has a sense of, when you touch it, it feels good in your hand, and the edges are worn smooth. You know, the weathered wood that I've salvaged that's created for all of, you know, my mantra blocks and some of the trays and candle holders and all that, it has this weathered and worn edge that is, you know, only comes from being outside and aged, you know, like the driftwood on the beach. And this is the kind of thing that when anybody feels like they surround themselves with it, it's really feels authentic and natural and easy. You know what I mean? So when we look at that as the metaphor for the rest of our life, you know, we're talking really about how comfortable do we feel in our own skin? How comfortable is it for people to talk with us or to be in our setting, you know, and do we make it hard for them or do we give them visual and verbal cues, you know, that we're open and welcoming? I'll give you a quick story. There's, you know, for anybody who's ever skied moguls on a mountain, you know, most people who've done it many years, they've learned to like see the lane. You know, you find the rhythm of the moguls and you can see your path as you're flying down the mountain. But if you've never done this before, it's terrifying. And you really kind of only see like 10 feet ahead of you at a time and it all looks overwhelming. So, you know, I try to think of that as like, let's not make it hard for people to navigate our terrain. You know, it's up to us to help others see the rhythm of our moguls and anticipate how to navigate them. And it's particularly in business. You know, I think sometimes corporations tend to, and some organizations, you know, they tend to really think only about their product or their service, and they're forgetting about the process of what it's like to do business with them. You know, they get really hyper-focused on one aspect, and this is the softer side of life. This is the softer side of relationships, the softer side of business that, you know, does warrant a little bit of effort. And, you know, and sometimes this can translate into the personal aspects of our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, again about, you know, how to translate this. And so a couple things that were occurring to me as you were speaking. So one is, you know, when I was, for some reason, I had this image of, you know, I'm dating myself here, but like back in the 80s when women wore these, you know, like the power suits with the big shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there was like sort of this very angular, you know, sort of angular, more masculine approach for women anyway, in terms of, being leaders. And for some reason, when you were talking, I had an image of sort of that, the shoulder padded suit, the briefcase, all these really, you know, angular, all these angular lines, hard lines.
Yeah.
And that is, it was not comfortable. I mean, we've evolved beyond that, right? And, certainly for women leaders, I mean, you know, there's been this evolution of now being able to be very comfortable in balanced. But, but I'm just thinking about ways that we, can be more, comfortable in our own skins and then have our offices, our cubicles, our image, reflect that comfort. You know, it's not that you don't have to wear a costume and sort of suit up, to go do battle, but that you can in fact, be comfortable. Because when you're comfortable, it projects and then everyone around you feels comfortable and they feel
for sure
safer. They feel safer, right?
Well, that's right. I think one other tangible example exactly
and Susie,
on that.
Hang on one second. I need to stop because we actually are, it's time for us to take a little break and we will jump right back. Please hold that thought, Susie, so we can jump right back into it. And we are going to take a quick break. I'm talking to Susie Frazier. You can find out all about Susie at SusieFrazierArt.com. And this is Rochelle McCreary, your host of The Leader in the Muse. We'll be right back after this message. Stay tuned.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
Do you want to build your brand and increase your influence? Let Dow help you. Visit us at tao-leadership.com to learn how. Dow Leadership Development helps savvy executives and entrepreneurs map out a blueprint for their personal brand in order to drive business success. How do we do this? By combining a powerful 360 assessment tool with hands-on coaching and over 10 years of experience working with over 1,000 leaders at Fortune 500 companies, government agencies, and top business schools. Our signature coaching program is Brand YOU for individuals or groups. If you are ready to build your brand and increase your influence, call 216-374-2282 or go to tao-leadership.com.
In sales, are you a lion or a vulture? Lions don't wait. They just go for it. Vultures hang around until the lions are finished and just pick up the scraps. How can you set yourself apart as a lion? Join the other aspiring sales lions and listen to Forget Patience, Let's Sell Something with host Ty Maynard. You'll learn the tips and strategies of top sales professionals. You'll gain more clients at a faster rate and at higher margins. If you're a sales professional, business owner, or executive, listen in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to The Leader and the Muse with host Rochelle McCrary. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to muse@leaderandthemuse.com. That's M-U-S-E at leaderandthemuse.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Rochelle McCrary, your host of The Leader in the Muse. And today I am speaking with Susie Frazier. She is an environmental artist, a lifestyle guru, and the founder of Earth Minded Style. And we have been talking with Susie about Earth Minded Style, this incredible lifestyle approach that she has developed. And there are three components of Earth Minded Style: resourceful, natural, and down to earth, the three principles of Earth-Minded Style. And so, Susie, right before the break, we were talking about down to earth and this sense of being sort of comfortable in your own skin, the comfort that you see in an environment, in the environment and nature around you. And, and so we were talking a little bit about how do we translate this third principle, this idea of down to earth, into something that's really tangible and practical for, leaders and folks who may be listening.
Yeah, you know, it's such an important topic, and sometimes we don't look at this enough, because we can get into our lane and we're powering through what we know to be our work responsibilities and the accomplishments that we need to do, and we don't really always look backwards and see what kind of wake we've left behind us, right? And I think of down to earth as, you know, really, you could look at it practically. Okay, let's look at the environment. Can you create a palette of colors and some textures that really speak to that essence of who you are as a company or as a person? You know, those are simple things that designers can help anybody with. That you know, I go into some corporate settings sometimes, and I can't believe, you know, that I see bright blue furniture and other like sharp red something over here at the pool table, and I'm like, okay, whoever designed this was not always. You know, they were just, it wasn't cohesive. It really doesn't reflect what the company stands for, right?
Right.
But, you know, on the other hand, there are things that we can do even just with our behavior. Mm. And that can be carried out through all the way that we set culture and an environment for our employees. Things like, you know, the way that we approach anybody that walks through our door. Mm-hmm. Are we creating barriers and walls that they have to peek around and look to find somebody? Or are we welcoming them with a smiling face and there's a person who has a demeanor that appears as though they want to talk to us? Even in a corporate setting where there's a boardroom, you know, it's amazing to me how many, there's a handful of men I know that are amazing at using their softer side, the more spiritual side, to still be high-powered negotiators.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a lot of others who wouldn't be caught dead doing that because they think it's a sign of weakness.
Right.
And so, you know, this to me is about, you know, listening, being an observant person, recognizing that this isn't all about what your next play is going to be or what you say next. It's about being receptive. And people recognize that. And so you're now approachable. And you seem to be down to earth because you are not trying to put on a front for any other reason.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things, and I love the fact that you've termed the language you use for this principle is down to earth. And one of the things, one of the core things I work with my clients on in terms of their, not only the process we go through in unearthing their personal brand, but also the process of really working on their leadership presence, their ability to really connect and inspire and motivate.
Yeah.
And it starts with being grounded, right? This idea,
yeah,
you know, down to earth, literally the language is saying it's about being grounded, right? Grounded on the earth, grounded in your body, centered, present, you know, all of these things that,
right,
that not only show that you are comfortable with yourself and your surroundings, but it also communicates to others verbally and non-verbally that you are comfortable, that you're on solid ground, that you're grounded, that you're centered. And that's what inspires, you know, from a leadership perspective, that mm-hmm. quality, that comfortable in your own skin, grounded quality is what inspires loyalty, trust, you know, it gives you incredible influence. And it's not about this aggressive, dominant, although, you know, there may be times where you have to be a little aggressive or dominant, but it's not, you're not predominantly in this domination, aggressive mode. You know, it's just sort of
that's
this
right.
real comfort around it.
That's
absolutely
right. And, you know, you see this all the time with people who are, like, quick to respond all the time. Got to be the mm-hmm. first one out there with what they need to say and tell everybody how they think. And, you know, and those are folks that probably have absolutely fabulous ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are thinking ahead, and you want those folks around you. But I've found that by observing the natural world and the way things happen in the laws of nature, mm-hmm. that all of that sort of works itself out. And those that find a way to adapt to, you know, the connections between everybody as opposed to trying to kind of come out front and be dominant over all, mm-hmm. Really are the ones that have a more of a sustainable future. And
right.
so it's an interesting metaphor for just human behavior, Mother Nature as a teacher for human nature.
Absolutely. And Mother Nature is a collaborative system, right?
Yeah.
You know, Mother Nature is a collaborative system. It's not a dominant system. Like the trees don't dominate the, you know,
right.
the rocks.
You know, right.
Right. You know, it's like the ocean does not dominate, you know, the land. I mean, it's a very collaborative system. And,
mm-hmm.
With another guest who's going to be on this month, we were talking about, how, Actually, this is a lecturer at Yale in the School of Management, and they've changed their leadership development program because one of the things that's happening in our world is we're moving away from such hierarchical structures into more collaborative and teaming structures, which requires leaders to have a different there's a different skill set that's needed that's much more in alignment with being grounded, having influence, mm-hmm. versus trying to control and dominate. And I have to say, for my clients who are former military, I mean, there are absolutely times where you have to dominate, right? Where it has to be hierarchical. Mm-hmm. If a fire breaks out in your house, you don't want to go, well, what should we do? Should we, at that point, somebody has to take charge and get everybody to safety. But for most leadership, it's much more collaborative now.
Oh, for sure. And, there's an interesting example in nature. I was just studying this actually recently for a concept I was coming up with for a project here in Cleveland. And in swarm behavior, like if you study swarm behavior in mm-hmm. fish or other animals that, mm-hmm. like in mammals, it's herding, and in birds, it's flocking. Well, there are things that are noted in the environment, in the oceanography, where there are with certain fish, there are things called leader fish. Mm. So, everybody operates sort of independently, right? And they're doing their own thing, but yet they're totally connected and working interdependently, collaboratively to do what they need to do, not only to forage for food, but also for safety against predators. So these leader fish are within the group. They're not at the front. And they are within the group, and they're directing and redirecting, and everybody's sensing off of them. Mm. And so I find that to be fascinating as a model for, a lot of these self-directed environments that, you see in business, but also
yes.
even entrepreneurs do this all the time, industry clusters that pop up. They don't have some agency out advocating on their behalf. They, they do it by design, just by survival.
Right.
And how can they work in tandem with each other to do what they need to do? So you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, Susie, I cannot believe it. Time has evaporated. We literally have about 30 seconds left in this show. It has been such a pleasure talking to you. And I want to make sure that everyone knows exactly where to find you, and they can find you at SusieFraserArt.com. And this show has been about Susie's proven approach, her patented approach to life and business, and it's called Earth Minded Style, and it's all about being resourceful, natural, and down to earth. And you can find out more about Susie or connect with her blog to learn more about Earth Minded Style by going to SusieFraserArt.com. So this is Rochelle McCreary. Oh, thank you so much, Susie, for being on the show. It was great having you.
My pleasure.
So this is Rochelle McCreary. I'm your host of The Leader in the Muse. You can always reach me at tao-leadership.com. That's dao-leadership.com. And I look forward to talking with you every Friday at 12 noon Pacific.
Thank you again for listening to The Leader and the Muse with Rochelle McCreary. Please join us again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. See you then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.